Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Glory be to the name of the Lord. And Pastor Paula is in Boston this morning for a conference. So we thank God. And she works so hard. She's going to refire after the minister's conference. Refire and then come back. She pours out a lot. And then she works so hard. I'm like, that lady works, I tell you. So we thank God. She'll be back on Tuesday. I'm left with these three boys for the next couple of days. Mighty men of valor. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then when she's not around, I realize, wow, you do all this. You do a lot. You do a lot. And we're excited about Win a Soul Wednesday. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My. We are going into the community and taking it by storm. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And one writer puts it this way. He said that when a Christian ceases to win souls, the fire of his own soul will burn down. The price that God paid for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have the life of God. Or have eternal life. The price of a soul in God's eyes is equivalent to he giving his son to die for the whole world. There is no price that you can put to it. So it's so important. And every day is Win a Soul Wednesday. Where your people around you in your community, around you at work, the people that you meet every day, just pay attention. When people start talking, they usually will start talking about their problems. When they start talking about it, just tell them, Jesus, no matter what you are faced with, is the answer to what you are faced with. And do you want to meet him? Do you want to have a life, an encounter with him? Do you want to walk with him? And just share the gospel with them in its simplest form. Share your testimony, and then help them to make a decision for the Lord. Hallelujah! So let's all get excited. That's the work that is nearest the heart of God, and that is why he gave us the Holy Spirit. So we can experience and reach out to others and make a difference in their life. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be an awesome time. I believe that. It's going to be an awesome time. And then next week, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature, into all nations. Recently, God has been laying on my heart certain nations, and as I pray for them, some of them are even closed, but they are beginning to open up. Don't just think about your little needs that you face every day. Think about God's kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He thinks in terms of nations, and that's where you and I are headed. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So all this month, we are studying on our spiritual growth and spiritual development. And last week, we'll highlight some points there. But last week, we talked about the babyhood stage of Christianity. We talked about the childhood stage of Christianity. We talked about growing to maturity. God wants all of us to grow. He wants all of us to grow. Notice what he said about Jesus in Luke chapter 1, verse 80. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 80. Luke chapter 1, verse 80. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, so the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. So the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. And then he repeats the same thing in Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. He says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The child grew and became strong. So if Jesus Christ, when he came on the earth, had to grow up, how much for you and I?
Amen.
We are trying to be like Jesus. Our everybody's heart desire should be like Jesus. He grew and became strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. God's plan is that you and I will grow from a spiritual standpoint. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Be sensitive this morning. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. He says that I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. The heir, someone who has an inheritance, so long as he remains a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. You don't take a six-year-old child and put that child in the driving seat of a car and say, drive by yourself. He's not up to it. There are certain things that God has reserved for us that we have to grow into it. Our inheritance is already available to us, but we have to grow into that inheritance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There was a lion. The lion grew among sheep and kept behaving like sheep. And every time he saw the big lions coming after the sheep, it also ran away. But one day it grew up a little bit and saw its face in the water. And he said, hang on a minute. The way I see myself in this water is the same thing I see these lions. When they come, I look at like these same people that I'm running away from, or these same animals that I'm running away from. The next time the lions came, this little lion said, I will no longer, run away from these lions. It ran, and it went into the company of those lions. It finally figured out, I don't have to be running away. I am created like the same people that I'm running away. It went back to the lion kingdom. When we grow up and realize who God has made us to be and what he has provided for us, the things that we used to run away from, the things that used to defeat us, they will no longer defeat us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. The heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave. Oh, everything belongs to that child, but so long as he remains in that childhood, it gets the treatment of a slave. What it's supposed to receive, he doesn't receive. Oh, he's in captivity and bondage. But the day that child grows up, in the mighty name of Jesus, he will say, I refuse to be a slave. You get to that point, you say, I refuse to be dominated by the enemy. I refuse to be dominated by circumstances. I refuse to be dominated, by the issues of life. I am growing up. I make a commitment that I will grow up and receive all that God has for my life.
Yes, 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 yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Evidently, he wanted the church to grow up. Notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13. That is God's plan for all of us, all time. He says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Let's Let's all repeat that phrase this morning. May grow up. May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part that is shared causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, in Acts chapter 19, verse 6 and 7, he talks about 12 men, and when he starts from verse 1, 12 men in the church of Ephesus, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. It's the same church that he's writing to, and there may have been more people there, women and children, but at the very least, they had 12 people in the church of Ephesus. And they got filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And he's writing to them and saying that he wants them to grow up. That is something that God will have us all understand. Oh, getting filled with the Holy Spirit and even walking in the gifts of the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily make you grow up. So important. And he's saying that we come to a mature man. That word perfect, verse 13 says, is the word for maturity. Don't let that word perfect throw you off. Because when we think of perfect, then we think of the fact that we don't do anything wrong. He's talking about maturity in the Lord. No longer children. God, if you have kids in the natural, you do not wish for them to remain children any more than God wants you to remain a spiritual child. He wants you to grow up. Grow up. But he's saying that no longer tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitfulness. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. And Paul, in his writings, talks about three different kinds of men as well. He talks about the natural man. He talks about the natural man. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Glory be to the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. This is so important for us to realize this. He says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man is the person who is not born again. The natural person is the one who is not saved. That is why the world doesn't understand that. They cannot see God. They cannot see Jesus. They don't know. When we speak to them, they cannot know. The spiritual things are foolishness to them. They mock us. They mock God. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The things of the Spirit of God, the things of God have to be spiritually seen and discerned. So many times, that is why we run into issues. Because it's hard for us sometimes to see what God is saying. But all our inheritance is also tied to us seeing what he's saying. As far as our eyes can see, we will be able to receive what he has for us. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual, now he talks about the spiritual man, we'll get there a little later, judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. The natural man does not discern spiritual things. Thank you, Father. And notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 2, describing the same person again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, and describing us, when it says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, who in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We walk according to the course of the prince of the powers of the air, who now works, notice the phrase, in the sons of disobedience. Works in the sons of disobedience. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And notice what he says again, if you get to verse 11 and 12, He said that therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, excuse me, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Notice this phrase. At that time, you were without Christ. You were without, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That describes the natural mind. He is in the world, but without God and without hope. That is a serious situation. That is an unfortunate situation. That is what drives me. And that is what should drive all of you. Oh, people are without God in this world and without hope. How can you dwell in this wicked world? How can you dwell in this dark world without God? And without hope. It's a serious situation. Strangers to the covenant of promise. That is what is driving us to reach out to our community, to reach out to everyone and tell them, oh, that there is hope in God. You don't have to dwell in the world without God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That describes the natural mind. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 describes that man as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, who were once not a people, but are now, 1 Peter 2:10, are now the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We were not a people, we were no people, he says. No people. We didn't have a standing with God. The natural man does not have a standing with God. He's outside and strangers to the covenant of promise. That's a serious situation. But you and I, thanks be to God, we are now the people of God. We are now in the kingdom of God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Futility of their mind. Their understanding is darkened, alienated from the life of God because of ignorance and the blindness of their heart. These are serious conditions. But thank God, you and I have the life of God in us. We have the nature of God in us. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
The next category of man that he describes is the carnal person. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Thank you, Lord. Notice how he describes these people. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Yeah. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Like mere men. You see, he's describing them as carnal. But you have to realize also that this is the same people. He starts his letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. He says that you are enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge. Utterance, talking about the speaking gift. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying that they come behind in no gift. They come behind in no spiritual gift, yet he's calling them carnal. That's the point I was making earlier on. These people, no gift, no gift. You see, to get a church to operate in spiritual gifts is one thing. And to get people to mature is also another thing. Operating in spiritual gifts doesn't make you mature. It doesn't. He's calling these people who come behind no gift as carnal. And carnal there, the root word there, I mean, it means sense rule or ruled by their body. They are not spiritual people, he said. You see, the thing that needs to happen to a Christian is when you get born again, listen carefully, this is so important for you, for all of us, our spiritual development. When you get born again, the real person in you is the one that is made new. Your body is still the same. Your mind is still the same. What needs to happen is for the one inside to grow up and to develop and store for that person to dominate the mind and the body. If that doesn't happen, you will still remain in the babyhood state of Christianity. And that's not God's plan. You see, body rule means you are sense rule. You are ruled by what you see. You are ruled by what you feel. You are ruled by your five senses. So long as you are ruled by your five senses, you remain, he's calling you body ruled or carnal. God doesn't want you to remain that way. Oh, we walk by faith and not by sight. So he's saying that I couldn't feed you you are not ready for it, certain things. I couldn't feed you with solid food. I only had to feed you with milk, and you are still not able to receive it. And these are people who are operating. They lack come behind in no gifts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, but the carnal mind, or the body-ruled mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. And if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not here. The one whose mind is ruled by his body, cannot please God. It's not subject to the law of God. Indeed, it cannot be. Thank you, Lord. And the same thing that he said to the Corinthians, he says something similar. This is so important. You have to discover this. I have to keep going over it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. He says, for though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. That's the same thing you were saying to the Corinthians. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those, notice the phrase, who are of full age, who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The mature person is skilled in the word of righteousness. The babe still needs milk. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. That is how you develop. We start out on milk. Desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. But no one should stay at the milk level. You have to go on to solid food. And he was telling the Corinthians that they are not ready for solid food. And sometimes there are certain things that God has revealed that people are not ready, so I can't share. There are certain principles in the Bible. You can't give solid food to babies; they'll choke on it. One time after a lesson, I took my time to explain a certain biblical principle, and after service, this person said, "I can't seem to get what you are saying." But she said, I need to grow up to catch up to it. And I'd done my best. I said I couldn't do any better. She couldn't get it. They are spiritually discerned. Mm-hmm. They are revealed by the Spirit of God. He's saying that, notice he talks about the fact that the first principles of the oracle of God. So when you get to chapter 6, he's writing a letter. The thought is still the same. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So he's saying that these people, these six principles, he called them the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. Number one, the foundation of repentance from dead works. Number two, faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptism. Notice that baptism is in the plural. You get baptized into the body of Christ when you are born again. Then you get baptized in water. Then you get baptized into the Holy Spirit. He's saying that these are fundamental principles. Then he talks about the doctrine of the laying on of hands. Whether you realize it or not, there is a doctrine of the laying on of hands. It runs through all throughout the Old Testament into the New. And then he talks about the doctrine of resurrection of the dead. We are still, some people are still at that level. Oh, whether pre-tribulation, pro-tribulation, we are still there. We are still. And of eternal judgment. If you are born again, whether you have to realize it again. You will stand at the throne and be judged as a Christian. Your judgment is different from the one that is not born again. He's saying that all these things are at the elementary level. But my job is to take you from milk to solid food. That you begin to grow up so you can receive everything that God has for your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The third kind of person that he talks about, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people. That is the spiritual man. That is the spiritual man. And it's unfortunate. He said he couldn't talk to them as spiritual people. That is the third category of person. And that is where God wants us to grow up to. Who is the spiritual person? The spiritual person, among other things, is the one that knows their inheritance in the Lord. That knows the Lord, the Father. That knows the Lord Jesus Christ. That knows the Holy Spirit. And knows what God has provided for them. Notice when he gets to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 to 23. Notice what he says. Therefore, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Everything that was done in the substitution of Christ, that was done in his ascension, and whatever he's made available, it is all yours. Oh, I'm ready. Almost ready to run around this building. Glory be to the name of the Lord. A spiritual person realizes that. He says something similar to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All things are yours. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Oh, the day this scripture was revealed and it opened up to me, I started kicking and screaming and I said, oh, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing there is. Oh, I told Pastor Paula, I said, everything that we need, everything we will ever need, oh, it's all available. Oh, I am already blessed with it. Oh, I started looking in the mirror and I said, that's a blessed person right there. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. You are also blessed with every spiritual blessing. Thank you, Lord. You are not trying to get blessed. You are already blessed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, but if it's in the heavenly places, I said that's mighty way off. That's thousands of miles out there. It's out there in the heavenly places. How, what do you need to do? What do we need to do to enjoy that blessing in our day-to-day life where we need to experience it? In the now of our life, in the daily grind of life, what needs to happen? Ephesians, just, Galatians 4 just told us, we must grow up from the childhood stage. We must grow up. We must grow up. Make a commitment to our spiritual development. Mm-hmm. And then number two, we must make a commitment to develop our faith. We must make a commitment to develop our faith. Oh, everything in the kingdom of God responds. Everything that God has provided for us, we receive by faith through grace. Mm-hmm. And faith is believing what God said and calling those things that be not as though they were. Think about it. The most worst sinner in this city right now, the most wretched person, the most meanest person that is running away from God, from God's standpoint, the new birth is available for them. It's already, Jesus has done it all. He's paid it all for them. Why are they not saved? Thank you, Lord. It's either they haven't heard it, or if they heard it, they turned it down. In the same way, your inheritance as a child of God has already been paid for. It is already available. Oh, by the same principle, it works. You hear God's word, you believe it, and then you speak it out of your mouth. And I am determined that everything that has my name on it in the heavenly places, none of it will pass me by. I will drain it all. I will take advantage of it all to fulfill the reason why he sent me down here. And you should make that choice as well, that decision. I'm not leaving anything on the table. Everything that has been purchased for me in redemption, I refuse to leave it on the table. I will grow up. I will receive everything that he has for my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. And then, the person who is also mature, or the spiritual person, is this helping you? Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The spiritual person also realizes that God dwells in them. God dwells in them. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Thank you, Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I love that scripture in the Bible. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You are of God. You are a child of the Most High God. You are not just an ordinary human being. Realize that the greater one dwells in you. And he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Who is in the world? Well, I think the devil is the one in the world. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. He's not less than. No. What else is in the world? Test, trial, temptation, all the things that we are faced with. Realize that the greater one indwells you, and he is greater. No matter what you are faced with this morning, oh, realize that the helper lives in you, the greater one lives in you, and he is here to help you and to put you over.
Yes.
Whatever you may be faced with, I don't care what it is. In your health, in your marriage, in your finance, in every area of your life, the one that lives in you, I've come to announce to you, is greater. You are a God. You are a God. You are a God. You are a child of the Most High God. You are a child of the Most High God. You see, Adam, when he was created in the beginning, God didn't even make provision for his healing. He didn't need it. Think about it. He didn't need it. He was in active partnership with God. He worked inside intellectual power. He could name all the animals. God brought him them to them, and whatever Adam called it, that's what he was. And the thing is, the good news is that, oh, are you ready for this? We are now the children of God. We are now sons of God. When you read the genealogy in Matthew and in Luke, then he talks about all these people that came before, and then he talks about Adam, the son of God. 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 And Jesus Christ is called the last Adam. And we are joined as with him. We are joined as with him. Notice what he says about us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, beloved, now are we children of God, or now are we sons of God? And it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that he shall appear. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now are we the children of God. God has restored our lost dignity. God has restored what was lost in Adam, and even greater. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we refuse to be dominated by the curse. We refuse to be dominated by fear. We refuse to be dominated by the enemy. Everything that wasn't part of God's plan and original intent in the beginning, we reject it in our lives.
Amen.
Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, and so in the mighty name of Jesus, this morning, whatever you are faced with in your body or in any area of your life that doesn't align with the will of God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak to that circumstance. I speak in Jesus' mighty name. May it align with God's will.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Now, are we the children of God? And Jesus, and I'm speaking about Jesus, looking ahead in Isaiah 8, 18, he says, I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders.
Yeah.
We are meant to be a sign and a wonder to our world, a light to our world, that they look at us and see what God is doing and say, yes, 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 I see God totally transforming your life. I see God making a difference in your life. I will follow you to serve your God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now are we the children of God. Our greatest desire is that we will be like God. So in the light of, to be like Jesus and to follow in his footsteps. So in the light of all this, what is our response? We make a commitment. What is our response when we are faced with the issues of life? What is our response? Oh, because we know the Father, no matter what we are faced with, we hang on to the Lord and we say that God will come through. We believe what he has spoken to us. Notice what the Apostle Paul did. I like this story in the Bible. Acts chapter 27, verse 21. Thank you, Lord. He says, the Apostle Paul was on the way to Rome. You see, so many times when we think that we are in the perfect will of God, it's going to be smooth sailing. There's an enemy out there. He will see to it that you are faced with tests and challenges. But in the midst of it all, do we just cower down and give up? Acts chapter 27, verse 21, he says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, says, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, I love this phrase, whose I am and whom I serve. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whose I am, who the one who I belong to, and the one whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, for you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men. Oh, wherefore, said, the other translation said, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. The matured person says that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of what I'm faced with, I will believe God. I am on my way to Rome. He says the plan of God for my life will be fulfilled and will not be short-circuited. It will not be stopped. This storm cannot stop me from getting to my destination. Why? Because an angel of the Lord appeared to me. What did he say? He came with the word of the Lord. Somebody would say an angel hasn't appeared to me. But Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy. God, the word that he has given us in his word is more surer than if an angel appeared to you and spoke to you. You stand on that word. You stand your ground no matter what I'm faced with. Wherefore says, I believe God. I believe God. Sometimes in the hard places of life, I will say, wherefore says, who are the says that I'm talking to? I say, Lord, devil, you think you are going to take me under, but you cannot. In the presence of Almighty God, in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of the mighty Holy Spirit, in the presence of all the angels of God that are present here, I announce to you, devil, that I believe God, and it will be as it was told me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What God said in his word concerning your life in this season will come to pass. You stand your ground. This storm will not send me under. Jesus told his disciples, let us go to the other side. And then he went to bed. A storm came up and Jesus was sleeping. How can you be sleeping in a storm? The boat is almost filled up and you are sleeping. When the mature person gets to that place where to do no worry. Worry is out of your life. You are trusting in the Lord your God. You are not afraid of what may come. Oh, you do not worry. You do not fear. You are calm in the midst of the storm because you know the Lord who delivered you in the past is the same God. He is not dead. He is alive. And he will deliver you. Thank you, Lord. But notice he says, the God in whom I serve. God, will you make a commitment that you will serve the Lord no matter what? No matter what. And when you make that decision and when you make that choice, God will go the very limit to deliver you so your life can continue progressing. The one who I belong to, who do you belong to? I like that he said in 1 John already that we belong to God. I am of God. I am not just an ordinary person. I am of God. You are of God as well. And when you make that decision to serve the Lord, it makes all the difference in your Christian walk, in your spiritual development. Daniel chapter 6, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. He says, and when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lion? The king could testify that Daniel serves God continually. He doesn't serve God on and off. Oh, the people at work, a that this person serves God continually. Use this person when it's alive in this way.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. The people in your community, oh, they can testify. Paul puts it this way. We are living epistles read and known by all men. They look at us. But notice he says that Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve been able to deliver you? The God, and then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not heard me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. In the mighty name of Jesus, this morning, sometimes it feels like you are in the lion's den. Sometimes it feels like you are in a storm that will never end. He says, oh, my Lord sent his angel to deliver you. In the mighty name of Jesus, this morning, no matter what you are faced with, this morning, no matter what you are going through, as you continually serve the Lord, I see him coming through and delivering you. In the mighty name of Jesus, he will put a song in your mouth. He will put a testimony in your mouth. Oh, that circumstance will not take you under. Oh, that circumstance will not, oh, in the name of Jesus, defeat you. Defeat is no longer your portion in Christ. Thanks be to God who always causes us always, 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 always to triumph. Always causes you to triumph. I see you triumphing. God is helping you and defeating every enemy that you are confronted with.
Amen.
Always to triumph. May the last defeat that you saw in your Christian walk be the last one that you ever see.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May you go from victory to victory. May you go from strength to strength. May you go from glory to glory. As you decide to serve the Lord, no matter what comes up, oh, the Bible says that the path of the just is like a shining light that keeps shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day, not dimmer and dimmer. I see you shining and shining, going from glory to glory. Oh, ask your God. Do you know your God? Daniel 11:32 says that they that know their God, they shall be strong and do excellent. There will be a command. There will be a command. By his word, they will be triumphing. He told Moses in Exodus 4:17, take this rod with which you will do signs. And Isaiah 11:1 tells us who the rod is. That rod is Jesus. With the word of God in your heart and coming out of your mouth, no matter what you are faced with, you will not be defeated.
Amen.
Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
This is your day. This is your hour. This is your hour. You see, the challenges of our day, we have to go up higher. We have to go up deeper. We have to desire the Lord and to serve him and to feed on his word and to make a difference. How many of us are ready to go up higher?
Amen.
How many of us are ready to grow up into our full inheritance and to make a difference in our world? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Talk to the Lord this morning. Talk to the Lord this morning. Anything that doesn't look like God, this morning, the presence of God is here. Whatever you came to check this week with this morning, God wants to intervene in the affairs of your life. He wants you to mature and to grow up and to receive all the air as long as he is a child. As long as he remains in the childhood state of development, it's no different from a slave. I don't know what you are bound with, but there is freedom in Jesus Christ. There is freedom in the Lord. There is freedom. 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 There is freedom.
Yes.
And this morning, if you are listening to me, Oh, or listening to this after the fact, and you are without God and without hope, you don't have to continue that moment longer. You can come into a relationship with the Lord. It's one thing. Not just going through the motion, but having a living relationship with the Lord. Children of God.
Trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.